Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Charlie, a very good morning to you. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Good morning to you.
You know what? We've been knocking a bunch of things around about this game. And one thing I keep coming back to is, and I'll ask you this as a quarterback who played the position a lot differently than Lamar Jackson. Does he simply just get hit too much?
Well, that's always going to be the case when you have any running quarterback. And unfortunately, you know, the rules, they favor him when he's in a pocket, but once he becomes a runner, it makes it difficult for defenders to even know how to attack him. And do you hit him? Do you not? What's the penalty? What's not? So he's using that to an advantage. So I don't think it's as many hits as what it could possibly be.
Charlie, what's the plan of attack for limiting the damage Lamar Jackson can do on the ground with his legs? We've seen the Steelers limit him before. We've seen them force turnovers out of him. But this defense in particular this year, especially missing some of the pieces they'll be missing on Sunday, I don't feel very confident in their ability to turn over Jackson.
Yeah, and I think that's the toughest part. And right now we're unsure if T.J. Watt is going to play with all the assumption that he's not. Based off those tests. So if he's not able to play, who's going to spy him in those passing situations when you know he's going to run with the ball if nothing's down the field? We don't know, inside linebackers, who's going to spy there. So I think that's the concern for me right now, just because you don't have all the full arsenal right now that you're capable of having on this defensive side.
Yeah, Charlie, speaking of, I guess maybe this is a weekly question now, but speaking of inside linebackers, what's your analysis of Devin Bush?
Oh, there are some challenges there. There's no doubt about it. He's playing with hesitancy. So, obviously we all thought it was physical, but now it's becoming mental at this point because he's not trusting his eyes. Even if he does trust his eyes, is his body capable of making those plays that we're used to seeing? And I think just that hesitation right now is all the mixture of why we're continuously talking about the inside linebacker position, specifically Devin Bush, because we expected so much more based off his draft position, what we saw in college. And right now he's going through some challenges. So hopefully he can rebound and get past this.
Time right now, 9:05. Get your home sold guaranteed, and for top dollar, Gina Giampietro, RE/MAX Select Realty. Visit GinaWillSellYourHome.com. Charlie Batch joining us. What do you make of some of your contemporaries, some of your old teammates? Chris Hoke, Ryan Clark, B-Mac, Rocky Blyer. You're not old enough, you didn't play with him. But what do you make of some of those guys, Charlie, just blistering the Steelers? Are they out of line? Should the Steelers take that to heart? Is it just elevator music? Like, what's that all mean to Charlie Batch?
Yeah, I think when I look at it, one thing that stands out, and I'm not sure if Rocky gets a chance to watch the coach's tape or not, or is he just watching the television copy, but all of it is merit. And I think when you look back, especially when Ryan and you have Chris Hoke and these guys that actually are watching the all 22 package, and they're now, speaking upon some of these issues, it's nothing you can have because they're just speaking facts. It just takes a while for the media members who don't have a chance to have all 22 access to be able to talk about it. So they get ahead of it as it relates to conversation. They're able to talk about it on Monday and Tuesday versus some of those Tuesday, Wednesday type of deal where other media members are looking at it. But I think the criticism is warranted for sure.
When you're a player and you're in that building or even a coach, how much of that noise gets inside those four walls? How much do you hear and take to heart?
Well, you hear it all because right now this generation, they live on social media. So, of course, they pay attention when it's all good. So you better believe they're focusing on it because fans can at them on social media sites. So if they're looking at it on that particular day, which we know majority of them are, it's kind of tough to kind of listen to that or, shy away from that point. And if you watch SportsCenter, you watch the highlights, you're going to get blistered on there. So this just comes with the territory. And this is something that I've always reminded players, even when I was inside of that building. Hey, if you want to watch it when it's good, you need to watch it when it's bad as well.
Charlie, I don't think that like lack of effort or whatever was an issue when you played here. But have you seen, or when you were a veteran player, If you saw a player that you thought wasn't putting forth the effort that was necessary, how would you deal with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at it, obviously, you know, you don't hide away from it when you're in those team meetings, but you know, as watching film, okay, here's the play that I messed up on. I'm going to get criticized on. So you know that. It's just now a matter of veteran presence. Now, can you now police that? And I've always said, you know, on good teams, I said, good teams, coaches hold players accountable, but on great teams, players hold players accountable. And right now, the veterans continuing to stand up, they're voicing their opinions. Now it's hopefully these young guys are able to now rise up to the expectations that are built here.
You can text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Charlie, is Najee Harris getting enough touches, or is that dependent on the Steelers getting behind early and so they throw it more, or should he still get the football and run the football a little bit more?
Well, I think there's a lack of that confidence on the offensive line, and anytime you have a great running game, it doesn't matter if there's eight in the box. You line up, you say, okay, guys, we can block these six, maybe seven running back. Here's the unblocked defender, and you move on. And remember, I've been in meetings where in organizations where I've played, I handed the ball off to Barry Sanders. I've handed the ball off to Jerome Bettis. And you have somebody as great as Willie Parker when he was here. That's how you lined up and you talked about it offensively. Okay, this is your guy. Move on to the next play. Right now, they're playing the number game on the box. Hey, there's one extra defender. We have to throw it. Okay, that just lets me know you don't have the confidence in the offensive line at this point.
Charlie Batch with us here on the Fam Morning Show. What were your thoughts when you saw Ben still in there and a lot of the starters still in there late in that game on Sunday?
No, it didn't surprise me at all. I mean, I've been around Ben for 18 years now. I know how he's wired. And just sitting next to him for 9 years, if he starts a game, he wants to finish it. And you have to literally pull him out. And I'm sure I know we didn't see it on the television copy, but I guarantee you that conversation took place as he was walking off the field. And Mike Tomlin said, hey, Ben, I'm about to pull you out. And he probably said, no way. I'm finishing with my guys. Because why would you pull him out? And I know your stars want to be pulled out, but, hey, we're all in this together. It's no different if he had a bad game starting it. You want to finish because you get a chance to now have that game-tying fourth quarter comeback onto your record. That's why quarterbacks have that particular stat, because they didn't fare well at the beginning of the game. So these type of things go back and forth. I understand it, but if I was in Ben's position, I would have wanted to finish it out with my guys as well.
Right, but if you're in the coach's position, does the coach have to say, look, I don't care if you want to finish the game or not, you're coming out?
No, it's easy to say we can pull everybody out, but you also got to remember, yeah, there are 53 guys on the roster, but only 46 is active on game day. So you can't pull everybody out. And if you do, then now those guys who are filling in on the positions now have to double up on the special team. So it's not fair to everybody else. So I get it. I understand where money's at, but you also have to look at it on the flip side. There's not enough roster spot. It's not like it's college. You don't have 90 to 100 guys on a roster.
Follow us. We're on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. When Charlie Batch sits back and he looks at the landscape of the NFL, is the NFL getting a lot closer to maybe their grand big plan, and that they've got a lot of okay teams and not any really great teams, and they're getting that parity they finally wanted?
I think they are, and this all kind of stems back, but, you know, a lot of it comes down to the fact of, you know, how do you build your team? And a lot of, you know, the structure-wise is, you know, you have to build it with a young quarterback on a rookie roster, because the moment that you pay your quarterback, the chances of you going to the Super Bowl are very slim to none. And just look at the cases that we could talk about. You look at Aaron Rodgers. We won the Super Bowl in 11. He hasn't been back, and then he's toted as the greatest quarterback playing right now. Drew Brees, never been back. You look at Ben Roethlisberger right now, hasn't been back to a Super Bowl. Tom Brady is the exception only because he didn't take that max guarantee when he was in New England. He was playing for $9, $10 million, so it wasn't a stress on the cap. They just have the NFL figured that out, and that's why one of the biggest discussions in the last collective bargaining agreement in 2021 was the fact of trying to now pull the quarterbacks into their own salary cap so it's not impacting what you're currently seeing now. That obviously was declined, and you're still going to see this particular structure. So it's going to be interesting, because the case study right now is, can a quarterback who's making 35-plus a year, can their team win the Super Bowl? And currently right now, that's not the model.
Well, what's the plan? Let's say Ben decides to walk away after this year, Charlie, and the Steelers go into the offseason. Let's put them at around, I don't know, let's say like the 11th pick in the draft. We'll ballpark it, okay? Mm-hmm. Should they invest in that young quarterback in the first round of the draft and move forward with that guy behind this offensive line? Should they go to a veteran stopgap, look for a free agent maneuver or trade, or where do they go?
Yeah, I think you have to have that particular conversation if that's where you finish in the draft. It just reminds you back to 2004. I was on the roster, Tommy Maddox was on the roster, but you're not going to draft that high because you don't expect to lose in that manner anymore. So they picked Ben Roethlisberger, and the rest is history there. So I think they have to have that particular conversation, because if you hit on that number, then that means now you have the next quarterback over the next decade, and that's what you're looking for right now. If it doesn't work out that way and Ben doesn't come back, this is why the Steelers put an extra year on Mason Rudolph. So they have that number at a cap number, and I think it's roughly $3 million for next year. They didn't have to do that this year, but they did it in anticipation of at least having the potential starter on the roster.
Charlie, why is it that, and even when one team appears to be clearly better than the other, when Pittsburgh plays Baltimore, it seems like it's always a 3 or 4 point game?
It always is, and it's just one of those things, because this is both teams, they build their rosters around each other, and if you should kind of watch the similarities over the years, if they draft a linebacker, we draft a linebacker. So it's just always those type of things ebb and flow, because the quickest way to the playoffs is through your division. So that's why it's so similar. You know what you're going to get. Unfortunately, we don't get the hard hitting that we've all been accustomed to, too, because of the rule changes, but this is where we're at. This is why the league put this game in December and the other game in January, because they know this game matters, and they know at some point that these two are going to have to clash in order for a division title. But I don't know if it works out that way if the Steelers aren't able to pull it off this week.
All right, two things before I let you go. One, is the snowblower up and running? Did you get it all tested, the oil and the gas and everything ready to go? And two, I have heard on the street, from somebody on your street, Charlie Batch is a mild-mannered guy, but if you want to get Charlie Batch to knuckle up on you, pull into his driveway before he snowblows and gets those icy tracks on his driveway, and he will get steamed at you. Is this true?
No, those are both facts, 100%. So the snowblower is gassed up, ready to go. I'm just waiting on the snow. So I got excited last Sunday whenever that snow started coming down overnight. I'm like, yes, we're almost there, and then here we are at 50 degrees. So it looks like I'm going to have to put that up for a couple weeks. But on the flip side, when it does snow, when it does snow and then somebody drives on my driveway, especially before 8 a.m., before I'm able to get out there and shovel it, I'm pissed off at the world. So people know that, and that is a pet peeve of mine. So I'm looking for someone who has been doing that over the last couple of years, because I think they do it purposely, knowing that I'm going to come out there and fume, and I put it on social media. So when I put it on social media, that is 100% legit. I am pissed off.
That's Charlie saying, I wish you would. I wish you
Absolutely.
Would.
And I heard it may just be somebody in your neighborhood turning around just to do it, Charlie. That's the intel I have.
And I think that's what happens. You should see how many people at certain people on my page, because they realize, because they're adding the people who are just that feel the same way that I do. And if you don't feel my pain, it's only because you don't shovel the snow. You're the one that drives on and reaps the rewards of it being plowed and salted. So don't do that. Don't try me. So I'm speaking for all my fellas and all my ladies out there who actually are have to shovel that snow, and they feel my pain with this.
Charlie, I've heard Colin takes a long way to work.
No, I do not
on those
go.
Mornings just would, to detour to go, that's
what I've
heard. I
would absolutely not mess with Charlie. Nope.
Hey, I'm going to make sure that camera is pointed right at him. If I see you, Colin, I'm going to get you.
I don't mess with Munhall. I don't mess with Homestead. I don't mess with West Homestead. I don't mess with New Homestead. None of it, Charlie. I stay away.
Hey, and anybody out there listen, you are on notice. You better not let me catch you and laugh when you're on your way out.
All right. Well, take it easy. We'll talk again next week. As always, Charlie, we appreciate it, man.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Surely. Thanks, Charlie. Absolutely.
He's more heated about the driveway than he is about anything going on in Steelers.
Oh, I did. I got intel from someone that said, listen, if you want to make it, and he lives in the North Hills now, and they said, Charlie manicures his driveway like you won't even believe. It is his thing. To keep his house clean, the inside and the outside. And that is his.
He must be like a straight line lawnmower guy. Back there and admire it in the straight lines. And
all right, all the time, right about this time, just every week, Amy Schuneman, WPIL Executive Director. She joins for a few minutes. We ask her a bunch of questions, and now's that time. Amy, a very good morning to you. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
Great. Heinz Field played the championships, or many of them, down there. How did that go? And also, do you think we'll ever get back to just four classes in football?
Well, we did have a great 2 days down there. We had it all between the wind, the sun, the snow, the clouds, but some good drama. So will we ever get back to four classes? I'm going to say no. I think once six came, and I think we all knew this, it was going to stay. So that's just my opinion, but you never know. Things change all the time.
Amy, do you guys put out any sort of official all Whippeal team, or is that something you want to make sure people understand?
Or you just field phone calls from angry parents and grandparents and uncles?
What about my son?
My kid didn't make all whatever? Come on.
Well, due to our name being associated as an award identifier, we often get labeled as selecting all section or all Whippeal teams, but in reality, our office has nothing to do with the selection or promotion of those teams. You know, our awards are strictly the Whippeal Team Individual Champions, our Scholar Athletes, our Sportsmanship Awards, and our new this year, our Community Partner Recognition. But those all-star teams are selected by coaches or coaches' associations, sometimes conferences or conference administration or media outlets. So, you know, those athletes and parents questioning why or how those teams are selected should reach out to their local schools to learn more about that process.
Are you in favor of, and I know that there was much made of it after the Aliquippa Championship, the coach saying, listen, we play up because of this competitive balance rule and whatever. Are you personally in favor of this, and do you think that it's right that teams, in a sense, maybe get punished for being too good?
I think there's a purpose for the rule. Is it fulfilling that purpose? That's something that's certainly debatable because, you know, this was created basically as a counter of the two divisions between private and public. So, again, that 4 years ago that this became a thing at the PIAA, it was introduced to, we'll say, target the private schools who had a lot of transfers. What it unfortunately did was also identify schools that have a lot of maybe a transient population that have transfers as well, Aliquippa being one of them. So,
well, can I stop you right there for a minute, though, and offer something? Sometimes, particularly people that aren't in real high-income districts, they don't necessarily have a choice but to be transient, and their home life isn't that stable. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I think that that's probably a good counter when people counter that. And they say, hey, like, if you don't have a lot of money, and maybe you could be in public housing, or maybe you could just be scratching paycheck to paycheck, you don't have as much say to where you live as maybe somebody in Fox Chapel or Sewickley.
Well, and that's, again, that's what becomes a transient population. And so that's the argument I would say that those schools have, that this rule was designed for those schools that had transfers, again, from more of a private sector than a public sector, but it's catching the public as well. So that's an argument, obviously, that Aliquippa will need to make. And again, playing up already is certainly something that they've chosen to do because they know that they're good and are trying to compete at the level where they feel they're appropriate.
Hey, real quick, before we let you run, Amy, I had an old-timer yell at me on social media because last week he heard me continue to say Whippeal, Whippeal, Whippeal instead of W-P-I-A-L. Are we okay to say Whippeal, or should we be more official and go W-P-I-A-L? What's Amy Schuneman's official position on this?
Listen, if that's the case, I got to change my whole verbiage because I say Whippeal all the time. So, of course, we are the W-P-I-A-L, but it is just a lot easier to say that. So before we go, I do want to give a shout-out. We have six teams in the state semifinals that football.
Mm-hmm.
So congrats and good luck to Kahneman, Sarah, Central Valley, Aliquippa, Penn Trafford, and Mount Lebanon. Mount Lebanon coming out ahead last weekend as well. So good luck to those teams, and we will have some state champions before we talk again. So, again, good luck to them.
Oh, is that a prediction? There we go.
I like it.
I like it a lot. All right, Amy, we thank you so very much. We'll chat again next week.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks,
all
Amy,
right.
You too.
Yeah, that Aliquippa stuff was very interesting to me.
Yeah.
I watched some of it and saw the coach, and he was very adamant about it. And I don't – the transient stuff – it becomes socioeconomic at times, a lot of times. Sometimes you don't have control over where you live. And I don't know. It's a much bigger debate. I think it is.
That can be unfolded in a lot of different ways.
It deserves a lot more minutes than what we gave it, and maybe we will get into that down the road a little bit.
All right, two very important pieces of sound I want to react to around the room before we get into our picks in about 10 minutes here on the Fan Morning Show. Let's start with Cam Hayward yesterday being asked about some of the former Steelers ripping them for their performance over the last couple of weeks. Cam, what do you think of that? Any thoughts?
I don't really care, you know. At the end of the day, it's 11 guys and this team getting it done. You know, I appreciate their comments, but we need to get it done. if we start worrying about what's said elsewhere, you know, shame on us.
I appreciate their comments, but we need to just go play better football is essentially what Cam is saying there. And I agree with that. I think you made a good point earlier, Colin, when you said, you know, whatever somebody says about you during the week isn't really – Cam Hayward's not going to put his hand in the dirt on Sunday and think, oh, I better do this for Ryan Clark.
Yeah, I mean, you listen and you understand, but I don't think it matters a whole lot what those guys say. As much as – okay, you take it under advisement, much like when Mike Tomlin answered Jim's question the other day. It means more than me or you yelling into a microphone about it. But I don't think it changes the way you teach. I don't think it changes the way that you try to get better. It doesn't change the way that you think. Those guys, what's in front of them is what's most important. What's in front of them is their next opponent. And whether Ryan Clark yelled and screamed and was mad or whether he wasn't, they were going to try to find the same outcome. It doesn't add a layer of embarrassment nor want, I don't think. I don't think they're going to want to try to win more because Ryan Clark and BMAC and those guys said it. It's great for people like me and you.
Yes.
It is awesome for people like me and you that talk about it. But I don't think it motivates more a football player. At least it shouldn't.
No, I don't think it matters. I really don't think it matters to Cam Hayward because his effort has never been in question.
No, well, not one player that said something was ever for one moment a better football player than Cam Hayward. Think about it in those terms. So that being said, none of those guys was ever better than Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward happens to be on a team that's not as good as the teams that those guys were on. Well, those guys were bad football players. Ryan Clark was a really good football player.
Rocky Blyer
is a really good football player. Cam Hayward's better than all those guys, but he can only control what he can control.
They're not talking about him.
Right.
And that's my point here. Cam Hayward is Cam Hayward and TJ Watt are the two guys I would look at on that defense and say, I can't criticize you. I just can't.
I think in when Hayden's healthy.
Okay, that's fair too. Minka, we have issues with about whether he's making the kind of splash plays we want him to.
I thought Minka looked really bad around the goal line last week on that would-be tackle of Burrow.
So I guess this comes back to my question would be, should other guys be heeding these words? And I'm not saying, again, like you don't put your hand in the dirt or line up across from a wide receiver and think, oh, I better do this for Ryan Clark and Rocky Blyer. But should they be heeding those words a little bit more? The Chase Claypools of the world, maybe?
I think I got the answer.
Okay.
Cam Hayward can be an extension of Ryan Clark or Bryant McFadden or Rocky Blyer all he wants. I don't know how much Chase Claypool or someone like that is going to listen to Cam Hayward. I think that Cam Hayward is right in the vortex of a generational divide.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Cam, that what I was going to say, it's kind of the same thing, is that Cam Hayward has a lot more in common with the guys that are frustrated and speaking out and quite a guys using
Cam
the word embarrassed.
I look at Cam Hayward as a contemporary of Chris Hoke. I don't look at Cam Hayward as a contemporary of Chase Claypool.
Definitely.
Not even age-wise, but in the way he carries himself.
This is like we talked about earlier in the week, how things get passed down from generation of players to generation of players. He's that link from the last generation
Smith
to the current generation.
Yeah.
You know, I have no problem with the way Cam Hayward has played and the fact that he's only eighth, I think, in Pro Bowl voting for defensive tackles.
I saw that
joke
today. Smash that retweet button, right?
Yeah, exactly. So here's the other piece of audio I wanted to play. This is a very important question. This was said yesterday on our airwaves in reference to one food item.
Listen. You call it grilled cheese. I always grew up it was called toasted cheese.
Toasted?
Toasted
really?
Toasted cheese, yep.
I get it. They're synonymous, I guess, if you're an old-timer, you will.
But they're not the two different items.
It's just a grilled cheese.
I'm his age, and I
don't. Never heard toasted cheese?
No.
I've been
honestly
told on the text line by a lot of people. I have heard toasted cheese.
Okay.
I think in 1984 when I was, 8 years old or so by my great-grandmother.
Yeah.
But toasted cheese is an antiquated term.
Never heard that.
You've never heard toasted cheese?
No. I was wondering if that's not a regional thing, is it?
I have seen toasted cheese on like a diner menu, and it just means grilled cheese. Yeah, toasted cheese
now,
sandwich.
We've looked it up, and if you search, it says toasted cheese is like when you make it in an open-faced style, like under a broiler in a toaster oven. Grilled cheese is when you slap the sandwich together and then put it in a frying pan or on a griddle.
Yeah.
They're two different things.
They are, but I think they've meshed into being this. You just call it – some old-timers call it grilled cheese – a toasted cheese, and it's essentially the same thing.
I'd never heard that before.
You know how much effort is to making that traditional toasted cheese that you just explained?
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell makes an open face both sides? Are you looking at Urban Dictionary? Why are you laughing?
Because I just looked it up.
Okay. No, cheese? I'm not even. No.
Wait, can you read it?
Is it bad?
That's a no. If you got to think about it that long, it's a no.
Craig's our new boss. Will he get mad?
No, nah, it's just basically.
What is,
dude? Did you just? Can you say fart on the air?
I guess you can, right? Yeah. Well, why not?
Use it in a sentence. Dude, did you just fart? I smell some toasted cheese. That's it.
It's that funny to you?
Farts are funny.
I thought it'd be a
Jim
little more.
Jim finds farts incredibly funny.
Okay, but anyway, the real toasted cheese that you explained—that is. That's too much of an effort to put in the broiler or to put in a toaster oven, two open face sides, and then smush them together. Why not just make it regular?
Yeah, a slice of tour cheese in between two pieces of bread, butter on each side in the pan, bang.
Can I hear Ron again, though? Because I really like hearing him say that. He says that with such fervor.
He really does.
You call it grilled cheese. I always grew up, it was called toasted cheese.
Toasted cheese.
He could almost
called toasted cheese.
Toasted cheese. I could picture him eating toasted cheese, sleeping in the nude.
Toasted cheese.
Or him and Chip Namius on that
nude beach
eating toasted cheese sandwiches.
Where's the waitress? Can I get a toasted cheese while we're out here?
I always sleep in the nude.
Toasted cheese is cheese on bread toasted under a broiler, I'm told on the text line.
There you go.
I don't know. So it's like a tuna melt without the tuna?
Exactly. Oh. It's a melt.
Okay.
It's just a melt.
There you are.
See, I'd still call that a grilled cheese, even if you put in a toaster oven. I don't know, to me, because that's what it would look like.
It's true.
I'm going to have one today.
You know,
I like to make grilled cheese and then kind of open it up a little bit and then slip a tomato in there. I like that.
It's
the cold tomato
call.
Against it. That's
the tomato's got to be cold, though.
Yes, it is. I keep the tomato out until the last minute, then I slide it
I'm
in
with
there.
You then.
And a little bacon tomato. In there, too.
Slide in there like Ron would.
Bacon, that's a nice touch.
Tomato soup?
Bacon,
oh, yeah.
Nice touch.
Oh, bacon's a great touch on there. Yes.
Ron
there
slides into that.
Toasted cheese.
Toasted cheese.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's time for our football picks from our host, experts. On the Fan Morning Show.
It is the final segment every Friday here on the Fan Morning Show. Our picks, the epic ending presented by Xfinity. Check out the latest at Xfinity.com. All right, let's do it. Let's dive in. Oh, first, let me update the standings, shall I? Since we all went 2-3 last weekend, I am still in the lead, 33-31-1. Just a game behind me, Colin at 500. Jim, a game behind him. At 31-33-1. Matt, just a game back of Jim and only three games back of the lead now after storming back the last few weeks, 30-34-1. We start with the SEC Championship game tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock on CBS. Number one Georgia Bulldogs laying 6.5 against the number three Alabama Crimson Tide in Atlanta, Georgia.
Nick Saban doesn't look at a 6.5-point dog all the time.
No, he doesn't. Jeez. If it gets to 7, it might be different, but I think 6.5, I'm on Georgia. Colin?
Georgia's been really good. That Clemson game, they stumbled just a little and just barely. You know what? Alabama's a big game team.
Yeah.
I don't know how good they are this year. They're going to either lose by a field goal or win outright. Give me Alabama here.
Okay.
As much as I want Georgia and I want new blood, so to speak, I think Alabama's going to find a way in a gigantic game to keep it real close or maybe even win it. Give me Alabama.
Yeah, I think maybe some people are looking at what they saw from Alabama against Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, Colin. They've got too many athletes.
You know what I saw from Alabama against Auburn? Them make all the plays in that overtime.
Yeah, when they had to. I'm going to go with Alabama to cover. You know, I'm thinking Georgia's going to win by 2 or 3 points. But yeah, I'm going to take Alabama with the points.
Matt,
I have the same thoughts. Big game, Nick Saban, give me Bama.
Wow, I'm the lone
wolf
on the number one
team
in the country.
Right, the only undefeated team in the country.
This could be a big swing in the standings.
Well, not only, but
Big Ten championship game tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on Fox. Number two, Michigan Wolverines. Laying 10.5 against number 13, Iowa, at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. I didn't go with my gut and go with Michigan last week. I'm not going to not follow my gut this week. I take Michigan laying the 10.5. Colin?
Kirk Ferentz in college is as close to coaching like an NFL coach as anybody, I think, if you kind of landscape the – the whole landscape. Coach is close to the vest. A punt isn't a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like an old school kind of coach. I think they'll lose by 8 points or so. I'm actually going to take Iowa here. I think he's going to keep the score down, but he's not going to be able to score points.
Okay.
Like, they're going to lose this football game something like, you know, 20-16 or 20-17. So give me Iowa.
Hey, Colin, you and I are thinking exactly alike. And I'd like to go, you know, Nick Costos. I can never take Michigan at this number. So that wasn't a very good Costos.
That wasn't.
It wasn't bad. Any Costos
like
is a good one. It's not
like
it gets
an angry
close.
Costos. Right.
Well, yeah. But anyway, I'm going to take Iowa with the points, even though I don't think they're any good.
Matt?
Yeah, I don't think Iowa's any good, so I'm going to take Michigan here.
There you go. All right. ACC championship game tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on ABC national TV for Kenny Heisman and right here on The Fan. Coverage starting at 5 o'clock live from Charlotte with Paul Zeiss and Doran Dickerson. Number 15 Panthers laying 2.5 against the number 16 Demon Deacons of Wake Forest.
Ain't enough.
Yeah, Pitt wins this, I think, by a touchdown.
And I'm not saying that because, you know, we're Pitt people here, or at least, you know, we broadcast the Pitt games. It's just it isn't enough when I look at these two teams. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think that both teams will be up in the 30s, but I think Pitt will win by a touchdown. I like it like 38-31, something like that. Give me Pitt.
Yeah, I think Pitt's going to be in the 40s at least. So, yeah, I'm going to – and their defense, I think, will make just enough plays. They still have some playmakers on that defense. So, you know, they might give up some big plays, but I think Pitt's going to win.
42-38, I'll say.
Matt's about to take Wake.
Major sweep alert.
Oh, there we go.
Sweep alert. Major sweep alert. All right, we're all on Pitt. Let's hope it doesn't jinx them. Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, Paul Brown Stadium, the site of a massacre last weekend. The Bengals laying 3 against the visiting L.A. Chargers. I know the Chargers have been mostly down, but a lot of up and down the last 6 weeks, 2 months or so. I think the Bengals have a letdown game. I think at the very least, it's tight most of the afternoon, and I think the Chargers walk it off with a field goal. Wrong team's favored. Give me the Chargers.
I think the Chargers kill them.
Yeah?
Yeah. I could feel the Chargers going in there and beating them by 2 touchdowns. Ooh. I like that. Give me the Chargers.
Jim?
Okay, I get to go opposite here.
Oppo.
In honor of the Steelers, it should be a 41-41 tie. That would be great. but I don't know. I can't trust the Chargers on the road here, and I'm gonna take the Bengals, even though, you know, it might be like a 3-point game push, but I'm gonna take Cincinnati.
All right, Matt.
I think the Steelers make the Bengals look a lot better than they are, so I'm gonna take the Chargers in this game.
All right, Jim, the lone wolf on the Bengals. That brings us to 4:25 p.m. Sunday afternoon at Heinz Field and on CBS. It's the Nance Romo game. It's a big one. It's the Steelers' season on the line, if you believe that. Getting 4.5 at home against the visiting Ravens and Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar has a fairly big day, at least compared to what he usually does against the Steelers. And I think the Ravens win. I'm going to go 19-10.
At about 7:40 or so, right? Justin Tucker is going to kick a 54-yard field goal for the Ravens to win by 1 or 2 points.
So you got Steelers to cover?
So I do take the Steelers to cover, but Justin Tucker will break your heart just after dinner time. You'll swear. You know it's coming. You'll think maybe there's a chance he's going to miss from 51 or 52 or whatever, and it would be good from 70. It's going to be right down the middle, and you're going to go, damn it!
Well, we all turn into Jimmy from Penn Hills.
Yep, and that's what's going to happen. That's
don't you like
happen.
His chances of missing from, like, I don't know, like,
I don't like
yards.
His chances of missing
no.
if he lines up in Oklahoma and the goalposts are in Florida.
From 70.
It's good.
It's good.
He still scares
me. I know.
Me.
Just inside the...
You know, and it's scary that he's like, what is he, 32 years old? He could do this for like...
Another 10, 15 years.
No, he's scary. He's in the Hall of Fame right now.
Yep.
Right.
Jim?
No, he is the GOAT when it comes to kickers.
Ravens cover or not?
I can't pick the Steelers here. I just
what a positive man.
No, I can't. Now, that sounds like Costa.
I can't pick the Steelers here.
I just can't do it. Not 4.5,
but
guys.
Although the points, though, Colin, I tend to side with you, but I'm just going to take Baltimore because I just can't take
Matt?
Steelers.
Yeah, everything points to the Steelers getting their doors blown off in this game, which is exactly why it'll be a 3-point game. So I'm going to take the Steelers.
All right, we split on Steelers-Ravens. Jim Lone Wolf on the Bengals against the Chargers. Clean sweep. We're all on Pitt to cover against Wake Forest. We split on Iowa-Michigan, and I'm Lone Wolf on Georgia to cover against Bama. We'll break it all down for you on Monday morning. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us throughout the week here on the Fan Morning Show.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.